طيب، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We start with كتاب الزكاة. We said الزكاة with the ذال, not the زاي. The زكاة with the زال, with the زاي, is what? It is to pay the money, the charitable زكاة. With the ذال is to slaughter, to purify the animal sluice through slaughtering it. Here, al-zakat, ya akhi, it can be done with in two types. The first one, which is the slaughter, and the second one, which is the nahar. The slaughter is what? And the nahar is what? And the aqr, that is also the aqr. I leave that, let the sheikh explain it for us, Imam Ibn Qudamah. Tayyib, so you have the slaughter, which is called ذبح. Remember, ذبح, نحر, and عقر. We'll talk about them when we get to it. He said, رحمه الله, يباح كل ما في البحر بغير زكاة. Everything in the sea is allowed to be eaten without زكاة, without slaughter. So, here, he said, anything in the sea you get from the sea, you do not have to slaughter it, and there is no ذبح for it. لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في البحر الحل ميتته. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said about the sea animal, الحل ميتته, the carrion of it is halal. Because when you take it from the water, the fish, what happens to it? It suffocates. This is called, in the land animal, munkhaniqa, a suffocated animal. In the land animal, it becomes what? Haram. Sah? And the bird, if you suffocate it to death, it's also what? Haram. So, here he said, al-hillu maytatu, about the sea animal, the maita of it is what? Halal. So it does not require that. He said, illa ma ya'ishu fil bar. Of course, the previous is with consensus. The ulama, all of them agree that there is no dhabah for the fish and the sea animal. What about, for example, like crabs? Also, there is no dhabah in it. Sah? Except, as we said last week, the birds of the sea, like what? Ducks, swans, and all the birds that live on the surface of the water, even if it dives into the water and comes back. He said, إِلَّا مَا يَعِيشُ فِي الْبَرِّ, except the animal that lives on the land. This is what? This exception, like what? Like the turtle. The turtle required to be slaughtered. The turtle, we said, you're allowed to eat it, but you need to slaughter it. Like we said, the duck and the swan. فَلَا يُبَاحُ حَتَّى يُذَكَّى. It is not يُبَاح, يعني you cannot eat it until you do the تَذْكِيَة, which is to slaughter it. Then he said, رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, إِلَّا السَّرَطَانِ وَنَحْوُ.
Saratan is a crab.
Except these ones are not to be slaughtered. وَلَا يُبَاحُ مِنَ الْبَرِّ شَيْءٌ بِغَيْرِ ذَكَاةٍ. Now we finished the sea animals, and we finished the amphibians. Now we move to only land animals. He said, وَلَا يُبَاحُ مِنَ الْبَرِّ شَيْءٌ بِغَيْرِ ذَكَاةٍ. And it is not allowed from the land animals anything except if it is مُذَكَّى. Why he said ذَكَّى? Because it could be ذَبَح or نَحَر. We'll explain later what is the ذَبَح and نَحَر. He said إِلَّا الْجَرَاد, except the locust and whatever similar to it. We said last week that the locust is halal to eat. Now you might say it is yuck and ugly and disgusting, and the locust is halal to eat. You want to eat it, eat it. You don't want to eat it, كما بدك, it's up to you. Prophet ﷺ never ate the dab, even though it's halal. That type of lizard, even though it's halal, The Prophet ﷺ never ate it. Why? Because he never liked it. You don't like the locust, don't eat it. And I don't think any one of you have eaten it. Huh? It's good if you're camping and you run out of peanuts, you can collect some and just fry them in the pan and eat them like peanuts. Of course, here the locust does not require to be slaughtered. The dalil, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أُحِلَّتْ لَنَا مَيْتَتَانِ وَدَمَانِ السَّمَكُ وَالْجَرَادِ وَالْكِبْدُ وَالطُّحَالِ. He said, of course the hadith, رواه البيهقي, and it is authenticated by many ulama. المهم, Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he said, two carrion, maytatan, is it carrion, yeah? Two maytatan are halal for us. Fish, السمك, والجراد, the locust, and two blood, al-kabid, the liver, and tuhal,
the spleen.
So he said, except those. Of course, he said, illa al-jarad wa shibahu, except the jarad, the locust, and whatever similar animal to it, which in reality, it does not have a blood. Sah? Yani the ulama, they describe him an animal which has no nafs sayyala. That's how the ulama describe such animals. They say, has no blood that comes out. Even though there's little amount of blood, but there's not the real blood that gushes forth. He said, وَالذَّكَاتُ تَنْقَسِمُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَقْسَمُ. الذَّكَات, the slaughter is divided, يعني الذَّكَات, to three different categories. نَحْرٌ وَذَبْحٌ وَعَقْرٌ. طيب. والذبح, first الذبح is to slaughter. والذبح يكون من أعلى الحلق وهو للحيوان المستأنس أي غير المتوحش سوى الإبل. He said, الذبح is for the animal. الذبح is where from on top of the حلق. Here الحلق, which is on top of the at the windpipe, at the esophagus. The windpipe, the two jugular veins, and the esophagus. So, all of it to be cut in one go. That's why the ulama differed. Listen. The ulama differed about cutting an animal from the back. If it's cut from the back, yani back of the neck. طيب, if it's cut from the back of the neck, some ulama said this is not halal. Because it's not madbuha. And a great group from the ulama said, but if the knife comes from the back and cuts quickly the jugular vein and the esophagus, then it is allowed and it is halal if it comes from the back. But if it comes from the back and cuts and stops at one of the jugular veins, or does not reach the jugular veins and the animal dies, that's not halal. And that is the problem with the machines that kill the chicken. The machines that kills the chicken, sometimes, because how it is, it's like a circular saw. So, and it cuts the chicken. Now sometimes the chicken, the head is dangling, because what do? They give it a small electrical shock. Chicken gets a small electrical shock where they put it on a line. I'm talking here in Australia. Here in Australia, the places that we visited, the chicken is hanged on the side, on a line. It goes through, the head goes through a pond of water that is electrocuted. It gives it small shock, round about between 30 to 40 voltage. That 30 to 40 voltage, it shocks the animal. Of course, if you were to take the animal off the line and put it in front of you and give it a minute or two, it's supposed to wake up. If it doesn't wake up, the animal is maita, whether you slaughter or not, it's haram to eat. Because what is the first cause that killed the animal?
Shock.
The shock. So it's maita. You understand? It's maita. It's carrion and it's haram to eat. Now, when we do the testing, normally, as it's supposed to be by the certifying bodies, but I can't tell you, I won't say all of them, I say majority of them don't do that. You have to make sure, take the animal off the line and put it aside and watch it. When it wakes up, I mean, this process is correct as long as it slaughters the ostrophagus and the jugular veins, cuts it sharply, this is then become halal. Now if it cuts it from the back, because there is no one to hold the head is dangling. Yes, they can adjust it that it comes and it cuts the front, but if the animal moves or did not get shocked properly, it can move and cut half of the throat, yani from half the side, one of the jugular veins, not both of them, the esophagus not cut properly, and that animal is haram to eat. Now, the fatwa says what? The fatawi says, wallahi, you can't monitor every animal. Yani majority is halal, khalas, we make a halal to make it easier. That's why we say the best if it is hand slaughtered. The best if it is hand slaughtered. Tayyib. Here, so we'll talk about a little bit about also the khawarif. Tayyib. He said, from a'la al-halq wa huwa lil-hayawani, as we said, for the animal that is musta'nas. What is the animal? The domesticated animal that is not a vicious animal. Not like the camels. The camels, especially in the olden days until today, it's very hard to control the camel. So what do you do? They do nahr to it, which is to pierce the bottom of the windpipe where the esophagus meets with your collarbone. You see that hole under the bottom of your neck? This is an animal has one too. So in it, they put a sharp object too. It has to be sharp. Sharp object goes through and cuts it, and the animal dies. We'll talk about the nahr a little bit further, how it's done properly. But now we'll stay with the dhabh. So under that will become also, under the dhabh, become the sheep. Of course, the sheep also the same way as I explained, the dhabah has to be. Why the nahar is not accepted from the sheep? Because the sheep, it can be controlled easy. It's small. Al-ba'an, the kharuf, small and can be controlled. If one person cannot control it, then two, three guys can control it and put it down easily and carry it. Now, also, as for the khawarif in Australia, I can tell you majority, I'm not telling you majority of butchers, I say to you, lots of the abattoirs, they have electrical shock to it. But the electrical shock to it is very light. They use, like a claw, comes and they give it a small shock. Of course, when you test it and leave the animal after you give it the shock for about 2 minutes, the animal wakes up again. So that is halal. And they do slaughter it, hand slaughter, majority of them. That we visited so far, in the ones we visited, it's all hand slaughter, the lamb, right? The khawarif, and gives it small shock. That is the dhabah. We'll talk about a little bit about the cow. Here he said, والنحر يكون في اللبة وهي الوهدة التي بين الرقبة والصدر. So, النحر, the second type is النحر. It is in an area, as I explained to you, اللبة. It's called اللبة in Arabic, which is in between your, if you put on your collarbone, there's two bones, and the bottom of the neck and the chest. It is in an area, that spot between the neck and the chest. Type, and mainly for the ibil, it is used what? For ibil, the ibil, which is the camels. Of course, the camels because of its size. When I went to the abattoirs in Mecca, in Mina, when they slaughter, actually they don't do nahar. They do dhabh. Normally you get 4 or 5 big Egyptian blokes. If you see one of them, you get scared. It's enough to give you the fright of your life if one of them comes in front of you. Of course, you, They hold the camels with rope. Very quickly, they put them on a machine, on a lift. They gather them, push them, raise them with the lift, and push them again. And very quickly, he comes with a small knife. And he comes close to it. He occupies him with his hand, and then he went very swiftly. He cuts his throat and the jugular veins, and the camel collapses. Yeah, he does it so quick that you don't even see that he actually cut his neck, his throat, and did dhabh. Can the dhabh be done for the ibil? Yes, because the principle is allowed to do dhabh. The principle is the dhabh. But the nahr comes as to make it easier, because if you can't control the camel, then you need to do the nahr. Tayyib. You need to do nahr. So we understand so far the dhabh and the nahr. Then he said also, وَالْعَقْرُ يَقُونُ بِقَتْلِ الْحَيَوَانِ الْمَعْجُوزِ عَنْ إِمْسَاكِهِ مِنَ الصَّيْدِ أَوْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ بِجَرْحِهِ فِي غَيْرِ الْحَلْقِ وَالْلُبَّةِ. Now, before we talk about the aqr, killing the animal for it to be halal in two places. Either in the halq, which is the windpipe and the esophagus, and to cut the two veins, the jugular veins, or in the lubba, which we explained. Two places. Now, al-aqr is to kill an animal in any place that kills it, which is an animal that you cannot grab or catch. Let's just say you have a wild camel that you cannot catch. If you go, for example, hunting. Now, in Australia, the numbers of camels are getting out of hand. You go to Western New South Wales, you see camels by abundant of numbers. Can you hunt then the camel? Yes, you can hunt the camel. You can hunt it if it is a wild camel. The basic principle to do what with the camel? To nahar or slaughter. Dhabh. But if you cannot catch it, and it's a wild one, then what do you do? You shoot it, or you kill it in any place that you are able to kill it. We'll talk about the chapter of hunting, if we have time, next week, inshallah. If we have time for next week, the chapter of hunting and the etiquettes of hunting. And especially if the brothers are hunters, they need to listen to this, so that I eat later. So here, we said, also take an example, wild goats. They're what they call them, billies. So, the wild goats. Wild goats, the goat, the basic principle is to do what? To slaughter it. But if you can't slaughter it, of course, because it's wild, once it smells you from far away, it takes off. So what are you going to do? Of course, you're going to hunt it. Sah? You're going to hunt it. And this is called aqr. Aqr, because you cannot catch it. Right? So here he said, anyway, it can be killed. So, an-nahr is the bottom of the neck. And al-dhabh where? Up the upper side of the neck. Why it is up in the high part of the neck? Because this is where all the veins are and makes the blood gush forth stronger and cleans the body from the blood, and it is better for the flesh. Subhanallah, before I continue about the nahr of Ibn, they say the animal watch and the animal welfare bodies, they demand that the animal is killed in the most merciful way. And that's by shocking it, or sometimes before they used to shoot it in the head. Of course, the problem here, unfortunately, the problem here, they don't understand that the easiest way and the less painful way is when you slaughter it. Reason being, when you cut the jugular veins, the heart continues pumping. But at the same time, within a second, all the blood is emptied from the brains. That means the animal pain spots are shut down within a second. So the animal does not feel any pain. Why? Because as soon as the blood gushes from his brain, and it's not coming back to his brain was shut down. You see? And what happened? The heart still working, asking the brains for more blood. What happened? It keeps pumping until it empties the blood from the body. So subhanAllah. That's for the ones who say it's not merciful. It is merciful killing. Now, as for, we spoke about these two, as for the cows. The cow in Australia, from the abattoirs that we went to and saw, this is the problem. That many of the certifying bodies certify the cows. It is halal. Under what? Under the notion that you use stun guns. The stun guns, which today approved, are two types. One uses air pressure, PSI, and one uses capsule made out of powder, gunpowder. They use what you call a mushroom head for the gun. Now, they grab the cow in a box and they aim for the forehead of the cow. And he shoots the mushroom gun. The mushroom gun comes and hits what? The forehead. Sometimes it cracks the skull and sometimes it does not crack the skull. Regardless, if that charge or the PSI is very high, the animal dies. No. And then the heart keeps pumping. The slaughterman, the Muslim, grabs it and says, Bismillah, and he slaughtered it. Now, this animal is a mayta haram to eat. Why? When we revise this mas'ala, and I revise that in the Mughni, I refer you back to the Mughni by Ibn Qudama, the same author of this book, and other ulama from ulama al-madahib, what did they say? They said, they spoke about it, if there is an animal that is slaughtered by a Majusi, a pagan. Pay attention to the qiyas. A pagan, when he slaughters, even if he slaughters halal, what happens? You're not allowed to eat the meat. Let's just say he slaughtered, and you came and slaughtered after him. The animal died from which slaughter? Majusi. It's haram to eat. And also the ulama spoke about it. Yani the main headlines they speak about it in the books of fiqh. Harakat al-madhbuh. Yani the animal still shivering. The shiver of an animal that has been slaughtered. And you come very quickly and you slaughter. After the pagan has slaughtered. Still haram. When we asked and we said, Ya Jama'ah, this is not halal. He said, yes, the heart's still pumping. He said, the heart is still pumping and the body is still shivering, the shivering of death. Yani now, if someone got hit by a car severely, of course, he's still in his body and he did not snap to pieces. His heart will remain pumping even though he's dead. Sah? Even though what? He's dead. Up to the brother saying 12 minutes. Yet the heart is pumping, but the man is dead, finished. It's only a matter of time before the heart stops. The same thing with this cow. It got hit, and it's in a state of concussion. Yet the animal is dead. And the Muslim comes to slaughter it, and the certifying company give you the certificate halal. You're eating a maita. You understand? You're eating a maita. It's exactly like, be careful of this, and this not halal cows. Now, some abattoirs, when we spoke to them, they were happy to cooperate and reduce the PSI. And we tested this. And they struck the animal. The animal what? After a while, got up. Yes, dizzy, the cow is dizzy. But if you leave it and you give it time, it will get up on its feet. Maybe it will go mental or something because of the severity of the hit, but still alive and not die. Now that is the PSI required in the pressure gun to keep it alive and keep it halal. So jazakumullah khair, this is what's happening in the name of your halal, and you're paying the money for it's halal, and in reality, it's not halal. And this is the truth about the whole matter once we checked it and we tested. And many, I don't want to mention names, I can mention names privately off records, many of the halal companies, what we discovered, wallah al-azim, when we spoke to one chicken guy, he halal slaughters with his hand. He's somewhere up in the Liverpool area. When I spoke to him, he's Kafir, he's Greek. And he got Muslims to slaughter, we watched everything, and he is halal. Now when we asked him, why don't you get a halal certificate, he said, why? I've got a lot of toilet paper. These guys that come take my money and they give it to me like toilet paper, they're not even interested to check. You are the first guys who ever took the town for free and you don't want money, you came and checked. He said, why? He said, whether I'm halal or not, I'm still selling the same thing and people know I'm halal. I don't need their certificate. They hand it down like toilet paper. We went and visited an abattoir. Wallah ya ikhwa. Wallah. He said, as soon as they came to me, they start talking about money and how much they're charging and everything. And he was not interested to see the process. You want to know the process? Oh, yeah, we trust that you do what we tell you. We give you the criteria, you do it. But you pay us that much when we certify you. Partly dinak, yeah. Here he said, rahimahullah wa yustahabbu nahru al-ibil. It is mustahab to do nahar for what? For camels. It is mustahab to do nahar for camels. Why? And this is no difference of opinion, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't do nahar for his hadi in Hajjat al-Wada', and he did 100 camels. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many camels he slaughtered, he did nahar? Hadiyan balighan Ka'bah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Hadi 100 camel and did nahar for them. Shuf, he offered fi sabilillah. So you go Hajj ya akhi. The Prophet said the best of Hajj kathratul ajji wa thajj. Best of Hajj, if you raise your voice with labbaik Allahumma labbaik as much as you can, and lots of slaughter. Yani take as much as you can. Take as much as you can money. Yani a sadaqah, and buy sheep and camels and slaughter, because that is the best of Hajj you can perform if you slaughter a lot fi sabilillah and you raise your voice a lot in talbiyah. And he said, rahmatullah alayh, wa dhabhu ma siwaha, and to do slaughter for other than, yani dhabh, other than the camels. Anything other than the camels, it is mustahab to do dhabh. Tayyib. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about to Musa, or Musa said to his people, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Your Lord orders you to slaughter a cow. So the cow to be slaughtered. Now, can the cow be tunhar? Some ulama said, yes, you can do nahar, but prefer a dhabah for the cow. Now, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, when he dhaha bi kabshain, two kabsh, yani two sheep, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slaughtered them in with his hand. فَإِن نَحَرَ مَا يُذْبَحْ أَوْ ذَبَحَ مَا يُنْحَرْ فَجَائِزْ. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he said, if you to slaughter, if you to do dhabah to whatever is nahar done to it, and vice versa, is accepted. So if the animals like the sheep and the cows, if you were to do nahar, is allowed. And the camel, if to do dhabah, is allowed. He said, rahimahullah, وَإِشْتَرَتُ لِلذَّكَاتِ كُلِّهَا ثَلَاثَةُ شُرُطٍ. And يُشْتَرَتْ, it is prerequisites, a condition for the zakat, three main conditions. Listen. For something to be halal, it requires three conditions. We'll talk about Australia Ahlul Kitab or not in a minute. First, ahaduha, Ahliyatul Muzakki. The person who slaughter, first he has to qualify as a person to slaughter. So you have three conditions. Three conditions. Three conditions. First, he said, one is Ahliyatul Muzakki. The second one, the first Ahliyatul Muzakki, the one who is slaughtering to meet the conditions which we talk about. Secondly, to mention the name Bismillah. And thirdly, to kill with a sharp tool. We'll talk about each, because each now, you have the machine slaughter and all of that. We're going to talk about it, all of it. He said, and we will tell you inshallah, if we have time today, because I know there are a lot of questions, is all, you know the answer by yourself, whether all meat in Australia is halal, and you all know whether the famous fatwa, Allah my Allah, guide the one who gave that fatwa, all chicken in Australia is halal. Right? I'll explain to you and you'll find out what happens, and why not. So here he said, Ahliyatul Muzakki, the first one, Ahliyatul Muzakki, the person who's doing the slaughter, the zakat, he has to meet certain criteria. The first criteria to be aqil. Yani, not crazy, to have intellect. طيب? Because he needs to know what he's doing. He's doing the zakat. The second, qadiran ala dhabhi, able to slaughter. Meaning, if a young kid who is mumayyiz with the age of, what is tamyiz? Tifl mumayyiz, the ability, a kid that is able to differentiate. Ya'ni, reach the age about between 7 and 10. This is umr al-tamyiz, when you tell the children, the boy to pray. Now let's just say he's slaughtering chicken. Some 7-year-old can slaughter a man, not chicken, ya'ni. He can slaughter a chicken, he can slaughter a cow. Of course, the kids in Australia are 7-year-old. He can only slaughter a Big Mac. So, he's still his father teach him how to grab a fish. He's still scared from grabbing a bird or a fish. But yani, some 7 to 10-year-old, 10 years, less than that, if he doesn't know what he's doing, then he should not be given a knife to slaughter. Self-awareness, that's you can call 10 years self-awareness. It's got a word, I'll bring it inshallah. The secondly, qadiran ala dhabh. Tayyib, what about a woman? Yes, a woman is allowed to slaughter. Tayyib, this is with the consensus of the ulama. So it doesn't have to reach puberty, it doesn't have to be a male, it has to be someone who is aware of what he is doing, able to slaughter. Why? Because if he's not able to slaughter, he can cut one side and the other side gets scared, see the blood run away. This person not able to slaughter, even if he is at the age of slaughter. The third condition, أن يكون مسلما أو كتابيا. Either Muslim or كتابي, Christian or Jew. طيب. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 3. Except what you have did تَذْكِيَةُ to. يعني you or nation of Islam, except what you have taken تَذْكِيَةُ to. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 5, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ and the food which of the, and the food of the people of the book is halal for you. Meaning their slaughter is halal. Here, Muslim, we all agree. But we have Muslim Ahlul Bid'ah and we have Muslims Ahlul Sunnah. We have Muslims, Ahlul Bid'ah are levels. Extreme Bid'ah and accepted light Bid'ah. Extreme Bid'ah, example, like the Bid'ah al-Mukaffira. Al-Bid'ah takes you outside the fold of Islam. Differentiate the Aqidat Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. There is a person could adopt an ideology of Kufr, but he's not individually as a Kafir. For the impediments of Takfir, which is ignorance, misinterpretation, so on and so forth. The ulama, when they judge in this issue, they judge according to the group, not according to the individual. Be aware. Meaning, Ta'ifat al-Shia, and طائفة الأحباش, there are طائفة of shirk and kufr. صح؟ But are they necessarily each Habashi and each Shi'i kafir مرتد عن دين الله? Not necessarily. صح؟ You know the famous fatwa of Ibn Taymiyyah, they differentiate between their ulama and their laymen, so we can understand this. Now, fatwa Sheikh bin Baz and others, ulama of Ahl Sunnah, that the slaughter of a Habashi and a Shi'i is not to be eaten. Not because he's individually a kafir. Remember, be awake. Because he could be a layman. So here, the Shia as a ta'ifa, you judge him, you don't judge him as individual. So the as ta'ifat al-Shia and ta'ifat al-Ahbash, you're not allowed to eat their slaughter. Why? If someone says to you, يعني you're making takfir on every individual, say, no, أعوذ بالله. احنا, we don't make takfir. But as a group, there are a group of shirk and kufr, and they advocate. Each individual between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as a ta'ifa, we don't eat their hand slaughter. صح؟ طيب, some bid'ah are not mukaffira, like bid'ah al-irja and bid'ah al-tajahum, like in the names and attributes and that. These are bid'ah are not mukaffira, even though it is a dangerous bid'ah, and some of it can be mukaffira, but not as dangerous as the shirk in uluhiyya and worshipping other deities beside Allah and believing in hulul and all of that. This is for the Muslim. Apart from that, any Muslim Sunni, he has some bid'ah and some sunnah, he's full on Sunni, all of those, it is halal to eat the slaughter, which is majority of the ummah. Majority of the ummah. يعني you go to Malaysia, you go to Indonesia, they slaughter, even they could have some bid'ah in them, but their slaughter is halal. We move a little bit to Ahlul Kitab. Ahlul Kitab, to qualify to be Ahlul Kitab, you have to be a Christian or a Jew who kills according to halal. Meaning, someone says, this person owns a farm, an abattoir, he kills himself for slaughter with his hand. He's a devoted Christian. صح? But he shoots the animal, or he uses a stun gun until he kills it. صح? This person, even if he's a Muslim and he's bead up to his belly and he wears a thawb and he's got the tag of Salat on his head and everything, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because annul the condition of the dhabah. You understand? So regardless, so the one who says Ahlul Kitab, who says type Ahlul Kitab, how are they killing? We want to know how they're killing. Nahna ya akhi, even the Muslim, we need to know how they're killing. Because in the first lesson I told you the basic principle about meat, it must be proven it is halal. صح? You can't just assume it is halal. You have to know it is halal. Or by khabar al-muttasil, يعني, or khabar al-sadiq, or someone is to know truthfully, trust, you ask him, is this halal? He says, yes, it's halal. Then you take his word for it. In the case of certifying companies, because you've taken the word of people who you trust. You see, because not every one of us is going to check the abattoir. Understand? Right. Here, Ahlul Kitab, Christian or a Jew. Now, some people say the Christians, yeah, Abu Adnan, has to be a Christian who believes in monotheism and not Trinity. Naya. Ahlul Kitab, whether he believes in Trinity or he believes with dualism, yani the Father and the Son without, I don't know, the Holy Spirit, or he's a monotheist, whatever the Christianity faith is in, as long it falls under the banner of Christianity, his slaughter is halal and to be eaten. Now, we have a famous fatwa that is given by Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayh, and some mashaykh here in Sydney, they go Islam Q&A, print, bring out, hang, and this is, meat, all meat in Australia is halal. Why? Because it is Ahlul Kitab. We said, like, is Australia Ahlul Kitab?
No.
First, the constitution of Australia does not say that Australia Ahlul Kitab. Secular society. Australia, ya Habibi, is not Ahlul Kitab. Maybe, I don't know the constitution of America, but the constitution of America could be Ahlul Kitab.
It is
and it says this country is a Christian country built and founded on Christianity and a Christian faith and so on and so forth, and the people who works in the abattoirs are Christians, then I can tell you, yes, that fatwa is applicable there. But applicable to Australia, that is not applicable, because by constitution it is not a Christian country. Secondly, the Christians in Australia are not like the Australians, the Anglo-Saxon, they're not like the Anglo-Saxon in America. The Anglo-Saxon in America, most of them are devout to the Christians. In Australia, most of them are atheists. And I met, when we traveled to abattoirs, when you meet them and talk to them, to the slaughtermen and the owners of the abattoirs, say, no, mate. I met one of them, who's alhamdulillah, he's killing halal, beef and cows and everything. When we asked him, he said, no, mate, I'm not a Christian. My wife is. Even though his name is John. Kif yani? No, I don't believe in Christianity. I want to ask you, if this man was to slaughter, would I make it halal? You all know that majority of Australians, which is, I mean, the Anglo-Saxon Australians, are atheists. You agree with me or not? Your kids grew up in Australia.
32% of Australia is atheist.
32% of Australia are atheists. I want to ask you a question. When we faced a certain sheikh with this, he said, yeah, but you're not supposed to dig. I said, okay, you're not supposed to dig and try to find out, even though we disagree with you, because the basic principle that the meat, you have to dig and find out whether halal or not. But let's agree, let's just say it is like the potato and the oranges and all the food, that al-asal is halal until proven haram. We're going to reverse it for you, even though the ulama never reversed it. But for your eyes only, we're going to reverse it. We ask you this question. Now the ilm come to you, and we told you that these people aren't Christians. You still insist on the fatwa? There's a difference between our visit a abattoir, or there is a difference between me, this abattoir, I see Christians, all of them working there, and I eat from it, from its meat. Sah? I'd say, wallah, I'm not supposed to dig khalas. Apparently, I take with the apparent. I don't want it to go extreme to see, examine. Even though you're supposed to go to that extreme and examine. Because the basic principle, but lahma, it is haram unless it is proven halal. Different than other food. Other food is halal until proven haram. Tayyib. We say, tayyib, we're going to agree with you and we're not going to dig. We're just going to take you to face value. Sah? But someone came to me, trustworthy, he grabbed my hand and said, listen, Abu Adnan, the guys that work in there and slaughters is atheist. Now that lahm become haram. Why? Because the knowledge has reached me. And the knowledge now I'm reached you, that majority of the abattoirs and the one who work are atheist, which makes their slaughter not halal, even if they slaughter. Of course, this is to show you that you can't just take fatawi applicable. Tabu say, someone say to me, how dare you? This is the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. I say, Jazallah Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Wallahi, he's one of the most beloved mashaykh to my heart. One of the most. And if I was to be influenced and learned so much knowledge, is from him. Rahmatullahi alayhi. But I tell you something. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, never visited Australia. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen answered according to the question that was posed to him, rahmatullah alayhi. Is, we travel to a land of Ahlul Kitab, is the slaughter halal? He said, we know from the Sharia that the slaughter of Ahlul Kitab is halal, and to eat from them is halal, as long as it meets the requirement of the Sharia. The Shaykh is not wrong with his fatwa, but whether it's applicable to Australia or not, that's the second issue. So we're not here rebuking Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, we are saying, is it applicable or not? And we find it's not applicable. You understand the point here? I say, Abu Adnan has the audacity, he's takfiri, he does not like Mashaykh al-Saudi. No, ya akhi, this not here, we're not rebuking Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he was given a question, he gave the answer. But what we're rebuking is it applicable to Australia? Maybe applicable to United States, because it's a hardcore Christian country. But is it applicable to Australia, which is majority of the people, alhamdulillah, of Australia, and you all worked with them, Master, you worked with them, they say, mate, my God is footy and VB. And win is blue. صح؟ Is it more than that? That's his God. He smokes and his beer and furi. No more than that. Now, can you say now, this slaughter, this person, which is, we all know that's an atheist country. That's what we need. Even our Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of Australia, she's an atheist. Julia Gillard is an atheist. So it is not a Christian country. It's a country, secularist, atheist country. And for this, not all meat in Australia is halal. And you can't take that fatwa lightly and be careful what you're stuffing your face with, because you could be stuffing it with meat that is haram, and you go on the Day of Judgment, you have no reward for your actions. So here, we said what? What did we say so far? We said the condition is by a Muslim or a Kitabi. A Muslim or a Kitabi is proving Kitabi. And that's why, for your surprise, one of the most halal that you are safe to eat is kosher. Kosher meat. And the Yahud, they have an abattoir in Wilberforce. The only people that are allowed to hand slaughter cow are the Yahud. To show you, if the Muslim community pull together and work together, we will make the abattoirs listen to us, because we are the one who pay money. And when you pay money, you may do what you like. They've got a box. They put the cow in the box and it turns around and the man slaughter it while it's 100% alive. Yes. And then they pack it. It's called the kosher meat. That's what we say, so people don't say we're radicals. No, kosher meat is halal. You go to Bondi, a kebab shop says kosher, ask for kosher kebab, it's halal, you can eat it. And more likely it is more halal than what's so-called halal here by selling by some butchers. We talk about also, if we were going to talk about the halal, the contamination. The halal, the contamination. Now, once they slaughter the animal, what do? They put it where? In trucks. What comes out from the abattoirs. That truck can carry pork and meat. And when they touch each other, the pork is najasa mughallada. Maybe you are on the opinion, only the dogs, first time with dirt and the rest with water, 7 times. Opinion, some ulama said the khanzir has to be the same, because his najasa is worse than the dog. And some ulama specified it to the salaga of the dog. But when you come to certify, ya akhi, you don't certify on the weakest opinion. You certify on the opinion that suits all the Muslims. This way, no one's Shafi'i says, no, I disagree, and the Hanafi. No. When you certify, you demand the highest of standard. I'll give you an example. Australia, the building in Australia, building a building. صح? If you need 1 meter of concrete thickness, you can build that building on 1 meter concrete thickness, no problem. But in Australia, the standard is 2.5. Meaning you need 2.5 meters of concrete for something that would suffice you 1 meter. Why? Because we want the highest standards. Now the kuffar try their best and get the highest standards for the Muslims. Just any fatwa, yalla, cut and paste. Why? Why? Why the Muslims, they don't take the highest of standards? Believe me, if we all stick together, they will tumble and they will come to you and say, you make the law and we follow. It was said to us. And yes, who? Me and one more man, one more sheikh, we send shiva in their spine. Some have come and say, this is a blank paper, we sign on the bottom, you just write your conditions, as long as you don't say one bad word about us. Imagine if all the mashaykh demand the highest. But when the sheikh, with all due respect, to jump on Islamic UA, and that's the problem with Islamic UA. You can get the fatwa, but the fatwa you're getting, it might not be applicable to you. It's applicable to the person who asked it. We do not reject the fatwa from Islamic UA, nor we say it's wrong. But we say this applicable to him. How do you know this is applicable to you? Sah. Someone asks, what are the conditions of Salat? And they list you the four conditions of Salat. Or ask, what are the pillars of Salat? And they list you the 14 of, pillars of Salat. Then there's no problem. But some modern issues, what applicable in America, not applicable in Australia, what applicable in Saudi Arabia, not applicable in Australia, all of that can change according to the time and place and the situation. And that is the danger. So when a sheikh gets you a fatwa from Islamic Q&A, and he put it in your face, Jazakallah khair, sheikh, this is applicable where the sheikh gave the fatwa, not to us. We have different conditions we live under. Even the constitution of Australia is different. So we need to understand this. Now here, what it needs to be done with the Pope when it touches the khawarif, you need the sheep for it to be eaten, according to the strictest opinion, to be washed first time with dirt and sixth time with water after that. That's seven times. Of course, would you do that to your sheep? After the butcher can wrap and mix it, it's already been contaminated with the worst najasa, which is what? The pig. Now, put on that on top so I can spice it up for you. So tomorrow you're only going to eat fish. To spice it up for you, they put a material in their food that keeps it red. That material made out of what? Insects. The red, you squeeze the insect. That insect, that, what is it called? Bee, it's a type of bee. Yeah, carmine bug, they get them, all of them, they quash them and they make red material. That red material is used for your food. Now the insects, we learn, it's haram or halal to eat? Haram. Kalamu tabkhay. You see that? So it needs a strict requirement to know whether you're eating halal or not. Don't ask me what shall I do. I'm telling you the problem, you figure out what you should do. So here he said, فَأَمَّا الطِّفْلُ, as for the child that hasn't reached the age of tamyiz, the ability to differentiate, his dhabiha is not allowed to be eaten. It's not halal. وَالْمَجْنُون, and also the crazy person is not halal. وَالسَّكَرَان, and the drunken, intoxicated person. And also the one who's doped on marijuana and he's working in the abattoir. والكافر الذي ليس بكتابي فلا تحل ذبيحته. Also the disbeliever who is not a kitabi, it is not halal to eat his ذبيحة. Like the Hindu, the Sikh, the Chinese, the, not the Chinese because there's some of them Muslims, the Buddhist, the atheist, the pagan, the fire worshipper, all of those, and more, anyone who's not Christian or Jew or Muslim, he is dhabiha, not to be eaten. طيب, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ, and the food of the ones who given the book is halal for you, and strictly to that, and this is understood from the ayah and with the ijma', and Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned the ijma'. So Ad-Durus, Al-Nusayri, Al-Alawi, his slaughter is a Shi'i with Ali. How about the more extreme? Why? Because the Durus and Al-Nusayri are murtadun bi ijma' al-Muslimin, by consensus murtad. By consensus murtad. And this is something, and they are kuffar by the agreement of the Muslims that their dhabiha not to be eaten and their women not to be married. And also the Ismailites and the Qaramita and many of those are kuffar. And Ibn Taymiyyah said they are worse than the Jews and the Christians. Their kufr is worse than the Jews of the Christians. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك